You're listening to Peter Donegan, as always, www.donneganlandscaping.com, and hit the blog. The audio you're about to listen to is entirely about shamrocks. It's something I've wanted to do for a long, long time, but to be honest, I think I have covered a broader spectrum involving more than just my own voice in this. The first speaker, or voice that you will hear, is that of garden writer for the Irish Times, Jane Powers. It was originally recorded for the Sod Show, the garden radio programme that I present along with Brian Green on Dublin City FM 103.2. The second speaker is a gentleman by the name of Peter Martin. Peter speaks on two matters that were of great intrigue and interest to me. The first is the hydrogel that his company develop and use, which allows soil-free shamrock to be transported and exported pretty much all over the world. The second thing is that his company is responsible for the growing of the shamrock that is presented by the Irish head of state to the US president year after year after year. Take a listen. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's only 6 days away now. And enjoy. I let one piece of audio run straight into the other, so you'll know when Jane's voice ends, Peter should start. Take care, and as always, the blog post for this is on www.donneganlandscaping.com, and hit the blog Friday the 11th of March 2011 is the date. Take care, bye-bye. Okay, so I'm talking to Jane Powers from the Irish Times. Jane, how are you?
I'm great, Peter. How are you?
Super. Shamrocks. What exactly are they behind the scenes?
Well, the shamrock is, it's like a lot of things in Ireland, and the identity of the shamrock is a bit sort of shifting and nebulous. It's not that straightforward. And in fact, there is no single species of plant that is the true shamrock. This is something that sort of academics and people who care about these things have been trying to research for years. For instance, towards the end of the 19th century, the Botanic Gardens had an amateur botanist working with them whose name was Nathaniel Colgan. So he sent out a plea to the people of Ireland asking them to send in samples of what they thought of as shamrock. So all these samples started coming into the Botanic Gardens. And so they planted them out because you can't actually tell what plant the shamrock is until it flowers, because when it's not flowering, it just looks like a green thing with three leaves. And in fact, there are quite a few green things with three leaves. So they put them all out to grow in the botanic gardens. And when they flowered the next year, they discovered that they were, in fact, five different varieties of plant. And there were three clovers, a white clover, a yellow clover, a red clover, a plant called a medic, black medic, and a wood sorrel. So that was at the end of the 19th century. 100 years later, Charles Nelson, who was the taxonomist, that's the person who deals with plant names and sort of abstruse things like that, and he again sent out a plea to the people of Ireland asking them to send in shamrocks. So the samples all arrived again, and although there was 100 years between the two research projects, exactly the same plants came in. In fact, there is no real species in folklore that would be considered the shamrock. So in fact, it's just any small green leafy thing that has three leaves. The shamrock, which is grown commercially, is one of these three, and it's the yellow clover. And if you want to get Latin, it's Trifolium dubium.
Tri obviously in Latin broken down, tri being tree and folium being foliage, as in leaves.
Exactly. So that means it's got three leaves. And the dubium probably means that there was some doubt about its actual species or its name, or there was something doubtful about it, and that's why they decided to call it that. I mean, Latin names, they are sometimes a bit more arbitrary than you think they are. They aren't necessarily terribly well organized. This particular Trifolium dubium, the one that's most commonly used and that's commercially grown, it is native to Ireland, but it's not native only to Ireland. It's native, in fact, to a very large region. So it's not just a specifically Irish plant. In fact, you can get shamrock in an awful lot of places. You can get it all throughout Europe. It grows naturally. It also grows naturally in North Africa and in West Asia. The practice of wearing the shamrock, nearly 300 years ago, in fact, it was recorded, as having been worn by Irish people. There's a book that's called Synopsis Stirpium Hibernicarum, and it's by Caleb Threlkeld. And it, in fact, is the very first flora of Ireland. That is, it deals with the plants of Ireland. And this was published in 1726, and he was a British minister who lived in Ireland. And he wrote about this particular plant, and he said, "The plant is worn by the people in their hats upon the 17th day of March yearly, which is called St. Patrick's Day, it being a current tradition that by this three-leaved grass he emblematically set forth to them the mystery of the Holy Trinity. However that be, when they wet their shamrogue, they often commit excess in liquor, which is not right keeping of a day to the Lord." And then there's a very big semicolon, and then after that he says, "Error, generally leading to debauchery." Caleb Threlkeld didn't think much of the Irish, I think, and their shamrocks.
And how times have changed, according to Caleb. Jane, quickly tell me, do we know where the name shamrock actually came from?
The name shamrock actually comes from the Irish, and it comes from two words, shamar, meaning clover, and og, meaning young.
The description of the gel is called a hydrogel. It's a polymer gel. And basically what we do is we drop a piece of the gel in the bottom of a plastic vial and the shamrock seed in the gel. And we propagate the shamrock in that environment. And when we lay out that for planting purposes in our greenhouse situation under glass, there's punched holes in polystyrene trays. And we put the vial in the punched holes of the polystyrene tray. So you put a polystyrene tray 3 foot by 3 foot with maybe 100 holes in it. And that then is suspended on over water. First of all, the advantage of the gel, it gives the product 10 to 12 days shelf life from harvesting. So it allows us to export it all over the world. And when it arrives to its destination, it's live and fresh.
And I assume, Peter, when it comes to exporting soil, never mind the shamrock, to another country, this is where the gel really does make a big, big difference.
Yeah, the product is soil-free, root intact, and that allows it to be exported worldwide. It doesn't carry any soil or hidden properties that could cause problems in horticulture and agricultural situations. We get it, obviously it's approved by the agricultural department every year. We get a rubber stamp to say it's all A-OK from about the middle of February, and we send a hydrosanitary cert with every delivery around the world. The kind of customer base we have would be, we do all the army bases for the Irish Army around as far wide as Afghanistan, McKee Barracks, Headford, Kabul, can be anywhere, all over the world, wherever they are. And we do the embassies around the world. Just a point on that, they cut back a bit on budget on the embassies this year. And I can never understand, okay, obviously that affects us commercially, the fact that we've got less orders with the embassies this year. And the cry is we don't have the budget. And ignore the commercial aspect for a second. This is just a little gripe on my part. I think that if you're an embassy representing Ireland in Holland or Russia or Moscow or whatever, and you have to cut back on budgets, surely to God, the one thing you don't cut back on is promoting the nationality of Ireland and its emblem. It doesn't make any sense to me. But when we propagate the product, Peter, grows in the vial, obviously. It grows in that. Then we transpose that tube into a plastic bag with a gold lapel holder and a pin. So the finished product is ready to wear. Our product is, you take it from the bag, it's live, fresh product with a pin on it. You put it in a gold lapel that's in your bag and you pin it straight onto your coat or your jacket. It's the finished article. We very, very, very seldom get a rejection on quality. Very, very seldom, no matter where the damn thing goes. If you were to buy it online in the States, you'd be paying $5 for it. You buy it online here, you pay €3. Well, the other thing about it is, Peter, that we've had this situation many times, people asking us, and Pat Fitzgerald, a colleague of yours and mine that we spoke about earlier, exports to the States all the time. We could grow it in the States as a plant and sell it in the States, but then it's not the original article. The real McCoy
Well, it's not so much that. I think it's always been said that if you want a pint of Guinness, the best place to get it is...
Well, that's it. The bottom line here, Peter, is that when people get our product, when we get over the hurdle of them using it, and they get our product, they repeat it with us every year. The other thing about it is that we do things like the bowl for Barack Obama. We do that type of stuff. And what I've been trying to do there over the last couple of years, people may not know this, but basically when that bowl is presented to Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or George Bush or whoever, 5 minutes after the photograph is taken, the shamrock is taken out and probably shot to death by the FBI out in the street in case it might harbour. Oh, you know yourself. So it is destroyed immediately. Every bowl that it's presented in is branded for the date of that particular year. The date obviously is the same, and who the two individual people are. So all those bowls, would you believe, are in a museum in the White House or somewhere close to the White House. This year, Michelle Obama, being the intelligent lady that she is saying, why can't I plant this out in my garden? And that's the objective this year. Please God, that'll happen, and we'll give her a bit of seed or whatever as well and allow it to be planted.
Isn't that a nice compliment?
Well, you know, it's a logical thing to do, isn't it? The thing, it's no point in throwing it away. Yeah, but then, of course, you know, you're dealing with a younger woman with kids, and she's going to be more interested in a garden, I suppose, or whatever. So that's where it's coming from. An interesting aspect of this, just to mention to you as well, Peter, is that as well as doing it commercially, which I have described, the gold lapel is a plain gold lapel that you can see on our website, livingshamrock.com. That lapel can be branded and is branded with things like the St. Patrick's Day Festival in Dublin, the London Ball in London. It's branded by individual commercial companies, many of them in the UK that distribute stuff like AIB and a number of other companies that, you know, GGH and people that you don't need to know, but just Moran's Hotels, people like this do it. And we do it for, we just have an order. Before I came to you, the reason I got delayed coming to talk to you was because I just have an order in from Nissan, the car dealers, looking to, and they'll distribute it with their logo on it. So we have that facility, and that's very valuable commercially. I want to take the chance to tell you that about 7 years ago, in an effort to develop the business and also as a means of promoting Shamrock as well, but we hold our hands up, it's a commercial business and we have to make money, but we started to distribute it through national schools, primary schools in Ireland. The objective being that it would be a way of reintroducing Shamrock to the kids, who many of them know nothing about, fresh Shamrock anyway, and would also operate as a fundraising mechanism for the schools. 7 years ago, we had 12 schools, and this year we'll have about 180. The whole logic, I suppose if you think about it, we have now transformed the wearing of Shamrock with young kids in big cities and small towns all over the country. You've got kids who never knew about Shamrock before are now wearing it on their parade days, wearing it to Mass, wearing it wherever around St. Patrick's Day. And they never would have had it before. I suppose that's grown now to put 100,000 kids maybe wearing Shamrock around the country from a base of nothing.
Peter, can I ask you, when I was talking to Jane Powers, she mentioned that the variety of Shamrock that you may be growing is Trifolium Jubium. That's correct?
That is correct, yeah. Trifolium Jubium, yeah, is the seed, yeah, is the plant, yeah.
And of the 2 acres of Shamrock that is grown, Peter, how much or what in percentage of that 2 acres is actually exported?
Yeah, about 45%. The figures aren't finished for this year yet, but about that.
And how many individual Shamrock plants does 2 acres actually get you?
Somewhere around 250,000 pieces.
Wow.
Now, we don't get to flog it all, unfortunately, but we do manage to sell quite a bit of it. But obviously in this scenario, Peter, you're planting in September and you haven't got a bull's clue what you're going to do in the following March. So you have to take a hit on a certain level.
And is that how long it takes, Peter, to grow one plant? You plant it in September and it...
Well, the thing about that, Peter, is it's a good question. And as a horticulturist, you probably know very well that if you took out a piece of Trifolium Jubium today and you took out the seed and you planted it today in the middle of March, and you'd have your shamrock next October or September. Shamrock can be grown anytime, anywhere, any time of the year. Obviously, we grow it for St. Patrick's Day there's no reason why it can't be grown any other time of the year. I mean, I have samples of shamrock available to show to customers in September and October. We're looking all the time to try and see can we develop the American market. In conjunction with Pat Fitzgerald, we have a few meetings lined up for April, May, and we may come up with something that will considerably develop that business in the States. The problem with the state, Peter, is that because we've a live fresh product, okay, 10, 12, 14 days shelf life sounds great, but it's a tiny, tiny window. Mm. So, you know, there's quite a bit of marketing and structure to be put in place to try and make value, take value of that window only at the middle of March, even though you have to plan it in September. Mm. So, you know, but if it works the way we think it could, the American market is obviously a huge market, but it could be quite considerable if we can get it right. Said there, we've just secured a substantial order from one of Ireland's biggest chains.
And once again, Peter, if people want to find out more, how do they get in contact with you? And is it okay to get in contact with you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, our website address is www.livingshamrock.com. My name is Peter Martin. The email address and all is on that. There's two of us in the office. We've an online purchasing system now that is not a bother. So for individual pieces, most of that online stuff is for 4 or 5 pieces that somebody might want for family members or whatever. Commercial or schools or other than like that, they talk to us directly. And they can get us on our email.
And finally, it's the 11th of March that I'm talking to you today. If I'm in the United States and I realise that I actually forgot to order my shamrock online, my Irish real shamrock, grown in Ireland, from Ireland, it's possibly a bit late to order now, is it?
I would be happy to supply you for 2012.
And if I'm bearing in mind this is going to become podcast, if I'm listening to this in the future, which is 2012, how long should I leave it before I actually order my shamrock from you? Or what's the latest I can leave it?
Okay, I need 10 days. I need 8 to 10 days turnaround time for the States. So if you want shamrock to wear on St. Patrick's Day this year, for instance, on the 17th of March, you should have ordered it from me on the 7th or 8th of March.
Okay.
To make the States.
Okay.
We can try it later, but you know, I don't like to let people down. It's no good to them on Friday.
No.
Paddy's Day is on Thursday. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's 10 days for the
Excellent.
States. Most other parts of Europe, 4-day turnaround, and we don't much go beyond that. Like, we went out to Tokyo this year, we do Hong Kong, we do Russia with different things, but they'd be in the extreme. But they're still with DHL now and modern systems. The maximum turnaround is 4 or 5 days.
Quick one, Peter. What's the oddest shamrock request you've ever had?
A woman rang me one time from England and she said, I'm looking for a shamrock for my father's funeral next Tuesday week. Can you organise it for me? And I said, next Tuesday week. And I'm thinking, is she going to kill the guy? Oh, what's the story? So I said, explain. He died yesterday. But because of the backlog of booking churches and funeral undertakers in the UK, it sometimes takes 2 weeks to bury people. So it gave me a bit of a start that somebody was looking for Sheldon for a funeral 2 weeks down the road. But there you go. There's been other ones, but that's about the best, I think. That's quite good.
Peter Martin, it's been an honour speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure, Peter, and I enjoyed it. Thanks, Peter.